You stand tonight. Let's read a couple verses. Just want to share some things out of John 8 as we kind of wrap up tonight. Man, really appreciate those thoughts tonight. John chapter 8. And the Bible says this, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." And let's read this verse together. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Father, we thank you for your word tonight. As we just want to look at a couple verses, I pray that your hand would just rest upon all that are here. God, may we understand what your truths are for us tonight. May we receive those, because only your truth can really set us free. We look to you now, and we ask your blessing in Christ's name. And everybody said,
amen.
And you may be seated. Think about the word freedom and what freedom is. What is the opposite of freedom? Maybe defining it with the antonym. Bondage, slavery, what else? Confinement, prison. Yeah. Sometimes prison can be liberating for some things, but it's that idea of just bondage, imprisonment. Can a person be set free from addiction? Is it possible? Is it a possibility? And I think all of us who have at some point been deep into bondage in addiction never thought there was a way out. There was a thought in our mind that I will never get out of this. Like this is what I am forever. And so freedom, I want to look at tonight a message entitled Freedom in Christ. I'm going to look through John 8 for the next couple weeks. But the first thing to understand is freedom comes from recognizing where that source of freedom is. In verse 32, he says in John 8, "The truth is what shall make you free." That statement is absolutely monumental to every person in here for anything you deal with in life. He said, "The truth shall make you free." Free from what? What will the truth set you free from? Well, I would answer it by, what is the opposite of truth?
Lies.
So the truth will set us free from what enslaves us, which are lies. Lies are what enslave us. How can lies enslave a person? Anybody here ever been in bondage to a lie you believed in? Something you really thought was true? Listen, I think all people who have ever used drugs or alcohol did so because they believed a lie of some kind. Every one of us who have ever struggled with anything sinful, bondage, addiction, whatever, we believe certain lies. And here's a couple lies that sometimes come down the tube is, this substance has the ability to make me feel better. You know that's a lie. Anybody ever believe that drinking and drugging will make you feel better? Listen, temporary pleasure that brings long-term pain doesn't relieve me from pain. Okay, let's just shorten the gap. Okay, say if I shoot up or drink up, okay, say if it made me feel better for 10 seconds and then long-term pain. Obviously, it's more for 10 than 10 seconds, but the reason that we don't stay in it because it ends up killing us. So it's a lie. This doesn't make me feel better. It makes me feel so much worse to the point the misery gets so bad, everybody that stays in it long enough wants to die or they try to kill themselves. The misery is that bad. So there's a lie that people accept that if I use this, it'll make me feel better. That's a lie. That's a lie. And the truth sets you free from that lie. When you recognize that is false, I cannot accept that. Another lie that many times happens is I have the right to use because of some hardship I endured. I have a right to this. I've seen guys who've gotten clean, have something bad happen to them, and they feel like they have a right now to use. I had this difficult thing. I have a right to drink. I have a right to do this. I have a right to sin. Anybody ever believe that lie before, that you have a right because of a hardship you went through? I mean, these are lies that we believe. The Bible is clear. Drunkenness and narcotics are sins against God. We never have the right to sin. We never have a right to violate God's words. How can truth set a person free? Those are just a couple brief ones, but what truths have helped set you free in life? Think about that. What are some truths that you came to and you say, you know what, that's a lie. I don't believe that anymore. That's not true, Jacob.
I'm a child of God.
I love the, and I appreciate you saying that. When I talked to Tanya, when she sat down in my office, and I would say this, the psychologist diagnosed her wrongly. Here's what true depression is, clinical depression. True depression is you don't know why you feel bad. Now, when I talked to her, I knew why she felt bad. Okay. She was grieving over the loss of her health and her position. So what the world does, because psychologists don't believe in sin, psychiatrists, a lot of the folks in that world, they don't believe in sin, so they all their answer is drugs. Seriously, I could go out to the streets of Dayton. Man, I'm feeling terrible. Well, I'll give you something. I go into a medical office. Well, he's got a PhD. I'll give you something. So yours is legal. His is not, but they both kind of help. They're both in bondage. They both get me in bondage, and both of them do it for a lot of money. Okay, is this making sense? That's not truth. That's a pill. Okay, I understand sometimes there's step-down drugs and medication. I'm not saying all medication is wrong, but what I am saying is there's lies out there that can hold us in bondage. And what Tanya's main problem was she found her identity in a job. And her identity was, I'm a police officer. I'm a deputy. This is who I am. And anybody heard the name Michael Phelps? Raise your hand. You know who Michael Phelps is? Michael Phelps is the most decorated Olympian he's the best athlete that has ever been produced in the United States as far as being able to get medals. Do you know he was ready to commit suicide and kill himself? Anybody heard about that? He was ready to end it. You know why? His whole identity was a swimmer. That's who he was. And when you got all the esteem, when everybody's cheering you on, man, you feel great. But when you lose that identity, you have nothing left. I'm just a guy. I don't care if he has millions and all this stuff and fancy things and this and that. He's absolutely miserable. And the danger for us is when we begin to allow the world to create our identity instead of letting the Creator create our identity. And we begin to believe lies. Now, when you talk to Tanya, her identity isn't a police officer who's so devastated by this ankle injury that she cannot get back from because of the brokenness of that injury. But now she's a child of God, and her joy comes because now she's living inside of the person God has made her to be. And you know what God's greatest gift to her? And I remember when I talked to her about this, and I said, you know what? God allowed you to be injured to set you free. Painful, isn't it? God allowed this to happen as a gift. And many times we don't know those gifts when they first happen. But now many of us realize the pain brought new life. And I tell you, folks, sometimes God will let his children fall down just so he can pick them back up and they realize, you know what, Lord, you're right. And it clears our eyes, doesn't it? Anybody in here had some pain in life that brought some clarity to your vision? And God's a gracious God, isn't he? He doesn't make us hurt more than we need to. It's not unnecessary pain. It's just enough. The scalpel of the master carpenter is just enough to shave off what we don't need because it's killing us. And so God is gracious, and he allows that. So truth will set us free. And so what happens when what was bringing me into depression is now bringing me joy because it's drawing me closer to God? And God does those things. So listen, lies will hold people in bondage. Adam and Eve believed a lie when they said, hey, if you eat of this fruit of the tree, you'll be wise, your eyes will be opened, you'll be as gods. And he said, you surely will not die. Satan's dumping lie after lie upon them, and they believed the lies. And so they gave in. In Matthew chapter number 4, do you remember when Satan came along and said, Jesus, if you turn this bread this raw stone into bread, and Jesus had fasted for 40 days, he goes and he's tempted by Satan. And do you know how Jesus responded to Satan's deceptions? With the word of God. And so what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so what Jesus did was he took the truth and applied it against the lies. So the only way he overcame deception and those lies was with the truth, because the truth will what? Set you free. But if I don't know the truth, then I will believe a... That's why it is essential to know what the truth is. If I don't know it, then I can't answer lies. That's why being in church, being around the Word of God, listening to things, you need the Word of God. There's no greater truth. This is God's big book, man. And this is the book that we all must know above anything else. This is it. This is the only book God ever inspired on planet Earth. Amen. We need to know this. Now, there's a lot of other good books out there you can read and study, but if you ever promote anything to anyone, let it be this. Teach them this. Let them know this, because it's the truth of God's word that sets us free. We must know the truth. And so Satan, again, over and over tempted Jesus, and the way Jesus overcame him was not through some thoughts of his own. And you know, Jesus could have spoke scripture. This is always interesting to me. He could have spoke scripture, but three times that Satan tempted Jesus in Matthew 4, Jesus three times quoted the Bible. He quoted the Bible. He overcame every temptation with the Word of God. And you know what Matthew chapter 4, verse 11 says after those temptations? That Satan left him. Now, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 12, we do not wrestle and fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. And so it says in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand. You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we must be strong in the Lord. And if you're going to have, listen, a spiritual attack and spiritual enemy that comes against us, I better have some spiritual resources to respond to that with. So what people do is, listen, you'll all face it. I face it. I have gotten so, like, I've had such strong spiritual attack against my life over 13 years of ministry sometimes. I don't know, like, there's been times where I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I've had times where my daughter has said to me when she was a little girl, my oldest, when she was 5 years old, she said, Daddy, there's something in my brain saying that Satan's going to kill me. And like, and she was saying these crazy things. And like, we don't watch movies. Where else? This is demonic attack. You remember Duke Hurgut, the long-bearded hippie evangelist that came and preached to us? He said, Josh, the same thing happened to my daughters over and over again. Each one of my children it happened to. And you know what I did? I did the same thing, man. I went in there and I prayed, God, you remove this stuff from this house by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, I prayed and it never has come back. Amen. Now, I've had the attacks on my mind, on my heart, man, depression, Satan's thrown stuff at me. And I thought, what in the world? I've had thoughts in my mind, you're such a terrible preacher, you need to throw in the towel, you just need to quit. And just so overwhelming through the night, like what, and just down in the press, and like, man, you know, you're so... And then I'm like, you know what? Satan is throwing all these lies into my head, man. God has called me to this. God is what? And Satan will do whatever he can. He attacks your mind. And the way you overcome that is with the truth of God's word. You know what? I'm a child of God. God loves me. He forgives me. And he's not going to give up on me. If he would have, I would have already been gone by now. And so I'm still breathing. So God loves me. And so he has a plan for you. We need to know the truth to set ourselves free. But if I don't know the truth, people get into bondage. They get depressed. They get down. They get away from God. They start believing lies. And I tell you, how many lies does it take to jack up our life? How many? It takes one. Anybody had one lie that you just kept in bondage? And then finally, that's why it's good to confess that stuff, isn't it? Sometimes you need other people to come along. And it's like they helped you get that out of your soul. You believe that lie about God. You believe that lie about your family. You believe that lie about your past. You believe, and it just holds you in bondage. And we have to come and confess and say, God, forgive me. And so, listen, there has been many people that I've talked to in life who say, you know what, Josh, I that book was written by men. I don't accept the Bible because it's a book written by men. And so what they do, right when a person says that, they just remove the rock and turn it into sand. So Jesus said, if you hear my words and you build on my words, you're building on a rock. But if we don't believe in the rock, we've just turned the rock into sand. Now, it's still a rock, but we just don't believe it. So I'm not going to build my life on the truth, and I'm not going to study it as it is in truth, the Word of God. I'm not going to accept it and believe it. What you believe about this book will determine how you live your life. That is a fact. If you believe this is a book written by men that has errors, it will change your life in no ways. It will just be like the Reader's Digest to you. But if you believe this is God's book sent down from heaven as it in truth is, and it is God's perfectly preserved word, then it will change your life from the inside out. And I'm going to tell you, friend, this is the Word of God. I want to talk about this very briefly, but I just want to give it to you. The Bible teaches what's known as the inspiration of Scriptures. This is so important. This is the only book on planet Earth that God said he inspired. I love the song Amazing Grace. I had a funeral today for a family, and that song was sung, but God didn't inspire Amazing Grace. God didn't inspire anything except this book according to the Word of God. What does inspiration mean? It simply means God authored the Bible. He is responsible for every single thing that's written in it, and it is therefore authoritative in our life. There's two elements to the teaching of inspiration. Scripture did not come from man. Secondly, God, the Holy Spirit, moved the writers of Scripture to write His words perfectly down and preserve them for us. And so many people argue this. Well, I don't believe the Bible because men wrote it. Let me ask you a question. Just because I write something, does that automatically make me the author? If I broke my hand and I said, Mike, I need you to write this letter to my grandma because I can't write this letter. I broke my hand. I want you to write it. I'm going to tell you what to write, but I want you to write it down, and then I want you to sign my name at the bottom. Who would be the author of that? Me or Mike? It'd be me, right? But he wrote it. You know, that's what people do. And you know what God did? He used people literally like a pen in His hand, and He used them to author His Word perfectly. And He used over 40 different authors over 1,500 years from three different continents, three languages, to write a book that is absolutely perfect. That is impossible. How could a book written 2,000 years ago to 3,500 years ago be the best-selling book in America in 2017? That is impossible. The only way you could do it is if God authored something like that. So He is the author. And so I want to look at a couple quick scriptures to show you this. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Look at this. Peter says, knowing this first, no prophecy of the Scripture, nothing in the Scriptures, the Bible, is of private, now keep that verse up there for a moment, of private interpretation. That word private interpretation means like individual, private origin. It did not originate, is what it means, from mankind. It did not originate from mankind. It is of no private interpretation. The word private means oneself, and interpretation means origin. None of it came from private individual. It did not originate from them. Verse 21 goes on to say, for the prophecy, the word of God that came down to them, came not in old time by the will of who? Of men, but holy men of God spake as they were born along. They were moved by who? The Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is the one who authored the Scripture. He said, I want you to know this. First of all, none of it came from human origin. It came from God. Now, who says that? Either a maniac that drank too much Lysol or somebody who's telling you the truth. You imagine somebody giving you a book and say, God told me to write all of this down for you. You'd be like, you're nuts. I'm not reading that. You're possessed, dude. You know, I just wouldn't accept that. Either they're a liar or they're true. And you know, all the men who wrote the Bible said, this is not our book. We didn't write this. This is God's Word. 3,800 times in the Bible, they call it, this is the Word of God. It's not our Word. This is the Word of God. This is the Word of God that came to us. It's not our words. In Deuteronomy 4:2, Moses said, these are the commandments, statutes, and ordinance which the Lord commanded to teach you. Galatians 1:11, Paul says, I certify, which means make known to you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, men didn't tell me this. Jesus Christ told me what to give to you. That's who Paul said when he wrote half the New Testament. Acts 28:25 says, well spake the Holy, notice down there it says, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto your fathers. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through the mouth of Isaiah the prophet. The Bible says in Mark 12:36, Jesus is speaking here. He said, David himself said by who? The Holy Ghost. And then he quotes David. He said, David spoke, but the Holy Spirit's the one speaking through him. This is all through the entire Bible. And the Apostle John, who wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the Gospel of John, and Revelation, you know, every time he was writing to those churches, he says, this is what the Holy Spirit says unto the churches. This is what the Spirit saith unto churches. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. All of it was the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 11:23, Paul said, I received of the Lord which I delivered to you. And let me give you one other passage, 2 Timothy 3:16. Look at this. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So how much Scripture did the God give? All of it. And it's profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God, verse 17, may be what? perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How much more can you be than perfect, and how much better can you do than all good works? So the Word of God is completely sufficient to make you what you are supposed to be. It just comes down to, I believe it. Will I accept it? And will I allow it to change me from the inside out? I've told our group here over and over, our church over and over, people over and over, the change starts on the inside. Don't think you can go to 5,000 meetings and have your life transformed. You need 5,000 meetings with the Word of God. You need to be a part of meetings, but you need the Word of God in your mind. You need transformed. You need to not just be spoon-fed. You need to feed yourself.
Amen.
Amen? None of my kids I feed. Okay, I'm not. If they're 5, 6, 7, they better not be. You know what I'm saying? By the time they're 1.5, 2 years old, they got that spoon in their hand. They're working it, right? And that's what we need to do, is feed ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew 5:18. He said, "Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." You say, why are you making such a big deal about this? Because the truth is what sets us free. And if I don't read this and study it, I have chosen defeat. If I choose to not be around church teaching and preaching, I have chosen to reject truth that could set me free. You know, when Tanya came and she heard that message, that started setting her free. How many people sat underneath the teaching of the Word of God and it began to free their heart from lies? You're like, man, I didn't know that. Man, I didn't know. And it starts coming alive on the inside. You're like, whoa, man. And it just draws you. The truth begins to set you free. And that's what I'm saying, is you can have that in the morning. You can get alone with God, listen to preaching on your phone, but allow the Word of God to change you from the inside. We just started carving off John chapter 8. There's so much richness there. But Jesus said, listen, when you know the truth, it is what will set you free. And if you're here tonight and you're still in bondage, I just want you to know there's a God in heaven that can set you free. You don't have to be an alcoholic. You don't have to be a drug addict. You don't have to be addicted to pornography. You don't have to be caught up in sin. He can set you free. He can absolutely deliver you from every single bondage. There's enough people in this room that could tell you that. He will change your life if you let Him. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can come tonight and trust in Him. If you would stand with me tonight.